Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and this is 3 Yards Per Carry. Simon Clancy is not here because he's in the Olympics. Chris.
I will expect a full report back on everything that Snoop did while he was at the Olympics.
Spoiler alert. Smoked a lot of marijuana.
Yeah, probably.
Okay. I asked Simon to say hi to Bam for me. And it just occurred to me, do you think Simon knows who the hell Bam is?
I don't think he knows who you're talking about, and I think he just smiled and nodded.
He's like, should I know who the fuck Bam is?
He was just like, okay, mate.
Do you get a sense of pride, by the way, seeing Bam Adebayo play? And I know we're going way off the reservation here. We're talking basketball. But do you get a sense of pride like I do, watching him get 26 minutes, 27 minutes, be an important part of Team USA, and watching Jason Tatum languish on the bench?
Yeah, actually, you know, it is interesting. It is interesting to see, you know, Bam playing on such a big stage and playing such a, you know, this is a lot like, God, we are going way off the reservation, but Bam, you know, reminds me so much of how, especially in that sort of situation, how Eric Spoelstra always used to refer to Chris Bosh as our most important player.
Yeah.
And you know, and it wasn't because he was the most talented among the big three between he and Wade and LeBron, obviously. But it was, you know, he was the most important because he had to play the most important role, the most pivotal, selfless role. And, you know, I kind of see Bam playing with those other guys, in the Olympics. And it kind of reminds me of that a lot. You know, it's not, he is getting minutes. He's one of the most important people on that team. But you know, of course there are other guys that are going to headline above him.
Yeah, and I decided that LeBron James is the greatest athlete of all time, or he has the best drugs of all time. And
I don't know what's going on, but he looks bigger and stronger,
faster and stronger,
and more explosive than I am not used to seeing that in a Lakers uniform.
He's 40.
Yeah, that's insane.
Okay, he has the same crap that Tom Brady was taking. Okay. The only thing he does it more athletically. You know, Tom Brady was just, you know, he was just upright for the most part.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, enough of the Olympics. We're going to talk football.
Yeah. If, well, Well, speaking of football, you were at the inter squad or the joint practices today, right? So we're going to get lots of good stuff from you on that today, right?
Absolutely. But first we got some housekeeping, which is if you want to participate in my camp reports every single day, you want to ask questions, you go to discord.gg/onlyfins and become a member there for $3 a month. And as always, this podcast is brought to you, and you're going to hear their commercial in the middle of our show, by Prize Picks. Use the promo code 3 yards. That's the number 3 yards. You deposit $100, you get $100. And of course, BetterEdge.com. Go to BetterEdge.com/5 reasons, and you get $20 just for signing up. All right, Chris, I'm pretty certain you have plenty of questions about every single unit. I
I
know
do. And you know
everybody,
what?
everybody was like clutching their pearls about the offensive line, and I'll admit it, I was myself.
Well,
I was
I
too
know there's
today.
also things that you are not allowed to say, and so
Right.
I'll try to remain conscious of that. Although, I'm probably going to try to ferret it out of you anyway, to break all the rules and get us suspended from practice. So you better be on your toes for that. I will say this, it's not just the joint practices today, right? I mean, you have been there since the start of training camp.
Yes.
We have talked a little bit about the progress going on in training camp a week ago. There's obviously been another week of practices, and so you've definitely seen it all. So I need to hear, from you, because you are our guy, how that is going. So first off, before we get into the joint practices today, I would like to know, I'm dying to know, Skylar Thompson, are you changing your mind on him? Because it seemed to be like, maybe you're changing your mind a little bit on him. Has he been good in the training camp practices this week?
Nah, he's still terrible. It's just that Mike White's worse. Who knows? Maybe I'm wrong about Skylar Thompson, and
That is
maybe,
shot down like an anti-aircraft missile.
yeah, maybe old Skylar is like, he's just coming into his own right now, right? And he's gonna be great if asked, for spot duty. But it's just that Mike White's been bad. Mike White was okay today. Skylar Thompson, I don't know if we're going to read anything into this, but Mike White had a larger share of snaps. Does that mean that Mike White might be starting on Friday? I think yes, because they got one more practice, then they got a day off, and then they're playing football on Friday. So, not that I have any information on this because, I don't have Mike McDaniel on speed dial, okay? And actually, I don't have his phone number. I have other people's phone numbers in there. But if I send him a text, I don't think he'll give me the starting lineup for Friday. But I'm going
How
to go.
disappointing that you don't have his phone number and talk with him, weekly.
Yeah, but I'm gonna go ahead and call it. Mike White is starting on Friday. Why would you give a guy like 50% of the snaps, Tua about 30%, and have Skyler just languishing there with like 10 snaps today?
Well,
So.
actually, that brings up a question that I've had a little bit, because Tua, as he's done a lot of work with a quarterback coach this offseason, before training camp, obviously. When you do that, you're putting a lot of throws down in the offseason, right? You're getting a lot of throws down, and there can be, and it's actually interesting who the coach is. It's John Beck, right? Because John Beck, when he was with the Dolphins in 2007 and then again in 2008 in Bill Parcells' first year, if you recall, he did also a lot of work with quarterbacks coaches in the offseason because Parcells wanted him to raise his delivery, right? And so he did a lot of work, and kind of somewhat infamously, as he got through camp, suffered through dead arm. And because they were doing so much throwing with him, they couldn't space it all apart and keep his arm nice and fresh. Have you say that Tua only got like sort of like 30% of the snaps today, right? Have you been noticed a little bit of maintenance program on Tua this week?
I would say no, but they are divvying up those snaps very judiciously in a lot of these practices. But Tua's just getting all the good stuff, right? He has like, you know, I can't get into first team, second team, third team, but he's getting every single first team rep. Okay. Like all the good
I'm not gonna
guys
get
are
into
on.
it, but I'm gonna get into it.
Yeah, like if we're gonna play, you know, if we're gonna play first team versus second team, Tua's team is just much better than everybody else's. You know? His two running backs are Mostert and Achan, while everybody else has to, you know, languish with Jeff Wilson and Jalen Wright. You know? So yeah, he's just, it's not an overload of throws, and his warmups are, you know, very similar to last year. And I think that's a philosophy thing. You know, he's doing some long throwing, then the short throwing, and you're talking about a warmup that consists of about maybe eight throws, which is completely opposite of what I remember watching this. Like, I was like a mental patient watching Tom Brady. In fact, I took pictures of his delivery, remember? And I posted it on OnlyFans.
Right.
Tom Brady threw about 100 passes to warm up that day. But he's also 1,000 years old. You know?
He's just keeping that arm limber.
Yeah. But I would say it's a conscious decision that they're making to not, I guess, not overuse, you know, not throw too many balls. But it's not hurting them in practice, and they're still doing that thing that they do, which I love, which is 11 on 11. That's the way you play football. You should practice football by playing football, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, teams come in, and, of course, they got to do one-on-ones. So they did their one-on-ones today, and I completely zoned out, and I started watching Patrick Paul get some good work in.
So before we get to Patrick Paul, and we will, I will ask you, you know, sort of, an observation, I guess, which is that from what I'm hearing from you, it sounds like Skylar Thompson and Mike White are getting a healthy number of reps, though, which I would contrast that with some other teams where if you are the third guy, you're really not getting very many reps even in training camp, right? You know, that happens a lot, right? So you're saying you would put forward that those two are getting a pretty healthy number of reps and pretty equal number of reps between the two. Would you say that's true?
Yes, and I'm going to give credit to Omar Kelly. He wrote a piece that, of course, you know, it's Twitter, Chris. It's not the greatest place in the world. All right, so you're gonna catch shit for anything you say. And he wrote a piece saying the not so secret quarterback controversy, right? But he did put on his piece on Twitter, he put a picture of Skylar Thompson and Mike White. You know what I mean? So naturally the fans are like, you're trying to start shit with Tua. But he put a picture of Mike White and Skylar Thompson. And I don't know if it's so secret. Like, why would you have snaps divvied up between these two guys, right? I don't think it's so secret. I think it's a real quarterback controversy. And I think that the backup spot is probably up for grabs.
Well, you know what? I would comment on that and say that I think this was actually the case last year too. If you notice how they started the guys, and that brings us to this preseason game as we're coming up to, which is that each of those guys is probably going to get a game. You know, each of those guys is going to, you know, hey, you take one now, you take one. They're giving them plenty of opportunities to show out if they can. But before we get off the quarterback position, because it is a really important position, I have really two questions. You can answer them however long you want. One, we have noticed 2 years in a row, it seemed like Skylar Thompson, a little bit of an issue with, I would say, the organization of the play, the organization of the play call to the huddle, to getting up to the line of scrimmage, to getting it off in time. Certainly that was the case in his rookie year, and they ran into all kinds of problems that way in Buffalo in the playoffs. But there was kind of the ghost of that even the following year. Have you noticed any improvement in organization with him or organization overall? Because we all know that that's been an issue.
Yeah, and I made a note of it today on OnlyFans when I was putting up my notes, not because, you know, since the fans are there, they allow you to live tweet. I don't go on Twitter, so I put everything on Discord. So I was, as I was putting up my notes, I made one of the notes was about the offensive installs, and Skylar Thompson and Mike White were running them. And when they do the installs, you know who's playing Friday. So Mike White and Skylar Thompson are going to get most of them, right? And Tua's going to get a few. I thought that the operation was perfect. And remember, when you do those installs, you don't have an offensive line. You have one of the coaches snapping you the ball, and you're sending the motion here, the motion there. You have the right cadence. You get the right cadence. You call the play. You line up. Everybody runs the play, and then, you know, you just lob a ball downfield to whoever, right? But the operation, I thought, was slick and smart and fast, and it doesn't always look like that. Sometimes they're stopping themselves during the installs, and It was pretty sharp today. And that was an extended period. That was about 20 minutes worth of installs, and it was pretty sharp, all three quarterbacks.
Second question on that unit, on that group, would be, okay, based on the fact that we've seen in a couple years now, or certainly that first year, Tua comes in, offense hums, anybody else comes in, offense falls off a cliff, right? Mm-hmm. And that's supposed to be, you know, for as genius as Mike McDaniel is reputed to be, and I think well-deserved, that's the chink in the armor, right? That's, if you're that much of a genius, you should be able to, you know, these are not guys that don't have any experience, right? You know, Teddy Bridgewater had plenty of experience, and, you know, Skylar Thompson is getting experience. Mike White has experience. Do you think we're going to run it based on what you've seen so far through the first couple of weeks at camp, including today's joint practice? Do you think that's going to continue to be a problem?
I would say yes, because Tua is just so much better than these two guys. And, you know, Skylar Thompson has had some moments with Tyreek. I thought Mike White had some success today with Tyreek as well. He was getting some oohs and ahs as I was watching Michael Penix Jr. playing against our defense. So, you know, I made no bones about it. I was watching Tua, and as soon as Tua left, I was like, okay, I don't care about these guys. I'm going to watch Michael Penix versus our defense. And I'm going to watch Kirk Cousins versus our defense.
Nice.
And by my estimation, yeah, it was a good day for the Dolphins, but I kept hearing about Mike White playing well. I did watch him on a couple of series, and he did look okay today.
Yeah.
He was completing passes to Tyreek Hill. He was getting guys involved.
Well, that's good to know. Okay, well, enough of the quarterback position. I know it's the most important, so, you know, I will tend to obsess over it, if you let me. You alluded to it before, in training camp, kind of have Raheem Mostert and Devon Achan, and then you have the other guys, including the draft pick, Jalen, forgetting his
Jalen
last
Wright.
Name Jalen Wright. Yeah. Jalen Wright, too many Jalens. Jalen Wright, Jeff Wilson, Chris Brooks. It's a talented unit behind those top two.
Yes.
But have they been showing it?
Absolutely. Yeah, especially the top four. Savon Ahmed has been injured. Chris Brooks has had some bad moments. Had a fumble in a live portion. Jeff Wilson got the orange jersey, and he's been solid. And he's been the top guy with the second and third units. But Jalen Wright is getting a lot of run and has made the most out of it. And he's had the flash plays, and he's had a couple of plays, especially one in a live period, two practices ago, where I'll put my hand on the Bible on this. He scored from 30 yards out without being touched on a sweep. Huh. Okay. And he picked up a couple of good blocks, including one for Patrick Paul. And it's not normal to see running backs do that. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Just glide off the left side and just score with just speed. And Jalen Wright's had a great camp, and I'm going to stand by my prediction. He'll have 200 yards rushing in preseason.
In preseason?
Yes.
Wow.
So three games, he'll have 200 yards rushing.
Well, I guess let me ask you this then, because, you know, the way that I see it, Jalen Wright and Jeff Wilson are pretty much in a very direct competition with one another, I think. Because Raheem Mostert is obviously number one there, and Devon Achan has a sort of number 1B type of role, but it's different than Raheem Mostert's, right? It's a lot more passing game oriented. He cross trained with the wide receivers earlier in the off season, according to his own words. So the backup behind him, behind those two, I should say, you know, Jeff Wilson and Jalen Wright are both very much, you know, backfield carries kind of guys, maybe blockers. Both maybe even a little bit bigger, more powerful. Well, Jeff Wilson is not necessarily bigger, but power is part of his game. Those two, if they're in competition with one another, are you thinking, you know, Jeff Wilson trade? We're talking show him out in preseason, see if a team takes him.
Nope, because I think Savon Ahmed is in trouble here, and I think they'll keep that top four. And Chris Brooks is a guy that they might put on the practice squad. They'll try to save onto the practice squad. I think Savon Ahmed is the one that's in danger, because Jeff Wilson, not to put a finer point on it, but Jeff Wilson is doing a lot of the things that you saw Savon Ahmed do last year, and they're
really
comfortable, and they're comfortable asking him to do it. And we already know Jalen Wright does it.
Okay.
What if I told you that Jalen Wright gets in the slot and runs posts?
I would say that's the first time he's done that pretty much ever, because he didn't even do it in college.
Exactly. Well, they're trusting all these guys to do a lot of these things that you might see somebody like Devon Achane do. But the running backs are heavily involved in the passing game, and I think that that does not bode well for somebody like Savon Ahmed, because if everybody's doing what you do, then you lose your, you know, your way onto the roster.
I suppose that would depend on how good they are at doing it, because I sort of expect, just based on the system, that the Dolphins are going to try and experiment with everybody that way. But when they get to the actual important games, it's interesting to see if they're going to use them all that way. If they do, then they have a much more versatile offense, and they have the ability to not change personnel so much. But if they don't, then we're back to, you know, hey, Devon Achane and Savon Ahmed, who was kind of his backup, have a very distinctive role that's a little bit different from what Raheem Mostert, Jeff Wilson, and presumably Jalen Wright would have for this team. But if they're cross training everybody and trying everybody out, then you're right. It does seem like it could spell doom for Savon Ahmed, particularly if Ahmed is fighting through injuries, and if the other guys are showing themselves to be good at it.
Yeah, out of sight, out of mind, and the body language is just with Jeff Wilson at this point, you know.
Yeah.
And I hate to be body language guy, but it's football. It's practice. Body language matters here. Okay?
No, it does. I absolutely.
Yeah, you get dapped up by the coaches. You're always, you know, you're right next to Mike McDaniel. Mike McDaniel's is always joking with you pre-practice. You get the orange jersey. You know, those are all good signs for Jeff Wilson.
Okay, one last question about that unit. Who's showing up as I guess one question, two parts. Who's showing up as the best pass blocker in the unit? And is anybody on that unit showing some, without getting into the nature of specific plays, formations, whatever, is anybody else in that unit showing some run blocking prowess?
Run blocking prowess, no. Although Chris Brooks has been tried some in that regard. As a pass blocker, Jeff Wilson is clear cut the winner in that group. And in the one-on-ones, he's been the best out of everybody. And I would say Raheem Mostert and Devon Achane. I keep saying Achane.
I know. Don't worry. He has changed it on us. So part of it's his fault.
Incomplete on those two guys, because those two guys, they don't really ask them to do a lot of the heavy physical stuff, like blocking somebody like Chop Robinson, you know, while the other guys do. Jalen Wright has had his moments, but Jeff Wilson is the best out of that group. And he's been asked to actually do it, and was doing it today.
Well, that's interesting. That kind of goes toward the question of how important it would be to keep him around. If that's the role that he's excelling in, then, you know, that does tend to make him indispensable. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's a roster player. I think as of right now, he's a roster player, and Savon Ahmed is the one that's in very much in danger.
And what about Alec Ingold? Like, what are your thoughts here? Because, you know, this is, heck, for as little as I've heard his name, I'm not sure, is he even healthy?
Yeah, he's healthy and he's playing and playing well. And they're asking him to do a lot of stuff down the field. The other day he was thrown I felt bad for him because he found himself about 50 yards down the field. And Mike White just uncorked one. And you can see, like, Alec Engel was like, I don't know how the hell to track this thing this far. You know, and you can see that he got turned around a bit, didn't adjust for the ball, and it fell about 2 yards away from him. Where if it were a wide receiver, you could see how a wide receiver can track it and make a play on it. But he's had his moments as well. Live portion, two practices ago, runs a flat route, and I can reveal this because everybody saw it, and there was fans there. And Quentin Bell had to go out there, and I was talking to Hal from the Palm Beach Post. I believe it's the Palm Beach Post, yeah. Halaby, yes. And he was asking me about the responsibilities on that play. And I was like, oh, it's very simple. Since you are on the near hash, you know, it's a play side. There's no way that a safety is gonna be devoted to the fullback who's releasing into the flat. So the edge on that side is gonna have to take him and then carry him up the field. It's 1-on-1. And Alec Engel ran a very nifty route where he completely sold the flat route. And I don't know what Quentin Bell was thinking, but he gets in the trail technique and Alec Engel ran away from him. And Tua just puts it right over his head. And the next thing you saw is a fullback running about 43 yards down the field until he was pushed out of bounds at about the 8 yard line. So pretty nifty play. I learned the hard way. You don't want Quentin Bell out in coverage. alone with somebody. He's pretty good going after the quarterback, though. And yeah, his role is expanded as far as in the passing game. I like to see it even more expanded. But yeah, he's noticeable and he's been healthy. Last year he spent all of training camp not being healthy, and so far he is. So arrow up on Alec Ingold.
Okay. All right. Well, that'll be interesting to see play out. Like, speaking of that position, though, you say that, you know, Chris Brooks has done a little bit of blocking in, you know, various capacities. But what about any of the tight end groups? Have you seen any of the tight end groups who, well, let's just say Alec Ingold gets injured, he can't play games. Do you think we have any lead blockers in that tight end group? And then I'll transition us into that tight end group.
Yeah, Julian Hill. And I'm over the moon with Julian Hill. First of all, I got to speak with him. Guy's a delight. Okay. First of all, he revealed he's the king of the squat room for the tight ends. and then I asked him, all right, so you're the king of the squat room for the tight ends. So who's the strongest guy in the team? Who leads the team? Who's the best squat guy on the team? And he immediately said, you got to go talk to the offensive line. And then he corrected himself and he says, oh, and you got to, and when you get a chance, ask the defensive tackles as well, because there's some strong guys there. So evidently the strongest guy on the team is an offensive lineman. All right.
Nope.
So he kind of revealed that. But Julian Hill has had a great camp. Jonnu Smith, as advertised, you know, Durham Smythe is going to be steady. And I really like the rest of the group. Tanner Connor, after a hot start, has cooled down considerably.
Mm-hmm.
Hayden Rucci is a guy that they're just gonna drop snaps on and he'll be cut, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And Jody Forston, I said it earlier and I said it yesterday, if looks get you into the Hall of Fame, this guy's a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
He looks fabulous, but he drops so many passes.
Mm.
And he makes plays. He made some plays today as well. But you drop so many passes, man, and that has to be a problem. But the top three could not be clearer. The top three are the top three. We thought there would be the top three, and they're the top three right now. Jody Forston might make it on because, man, there's so much there.
You know?
Don't get hurt, Jordy, is all I'm saying.
So Tanner Connor, you say he had kind of a hot start. Was he having kind of a hot start in his in pass catching capacity?
Yes, not as a blocker. He was having a very good time of it, getting deep, and catching passes at the second level from Tua Tagovailoa, who was getting a run with Tua. He's lost snaps to Jody Foreston. There's no other way to slice it. You know, one guy is catching passes from Tua, and the other guy is not getting any reps with Tua. So
that is an interesting development for that group, because that's going to be the battle. And obviously, I think, you know, given Tanner Connor's, you know, body makeup and how he plays, Jody Fortson, who is special teams, possibly red zone pass catcher, would, I think, you know, kind of an overgrown wide receiver, would be in competition with Tanner Connor, who himself is a wide receiver convert from college. And you think, even though Fortson has dropped some balls, you would give the nod to him on that competition so far?
Yeah, it's the new, you know, how many years are we going to do this with Tanner Connor? It's at least Jody Forston is new, you know, and he has a size advantage. Tanner Connor is obviously small. He's a smallish tight end. And if you see him in person, man, he just does not look like a tight end. He looks like a wide receiver to me.
Yeah, he you doesn't. He has always looked, from his pictures, he always has looked pretty rocked up, though.
Oh, no, he's put together. Like, it's obvious, you know, it's obvious that, you know, he's put together. But, you know, from a distance, he looks like a wide receiver out there running patterns. But Jody Forston, like, there's no mistaking. Like, that's a, you know, he looks like a basketball player. So, yeah, I think he has the nod right now just merely on that, just on the aesthetics of it. He's catching passes from Tua, and the other guy is not.
Yeah. Yeah, that does say something. Obviously, we have not seen, starting at the wide receiver position now, we have not seen OBJ out there. We have not seen Odell Beckham Jr. out there. Is that correct?
We have not, but he keeps threatening. He keeps threatening to suit up one of these days, because I've seen him sprint. He looks good. I've seen him catch passes, and he looks good. But evidently, what I'm seeing is not good enough to actually put on pads and play. So we shall see, but I guess we're getting closer.
I will say this this much, just based on people that I speak to about Odell Beckham. You know, I don't think that this is necessarily injury related. I think this is getting into football shape related, I would say. Mm-hmm. I don't know if based on what you've seen, if you would agree or disagree or can't really. But I think this is about working him into that. Very, you know, the kind of stamina that he's going to need, the lower body stamina that he's going to need to keep running those routes all day.
Yeah, I would agree with that. As far as for the rest of the wide receiver group, I think I can make it short and sweet, so we can move on to the offensive line, because we're a little pressed for time here, so we could get to the defense in the second half of the show. The whole back end of the wide receiver room is bad. Jaquan Burton is not as I expected. I saw him play at FAU. This was a good player. He dropped so many balls. Kyrat McGowan has the same issues as Jaquan Burton. Guys that look really, really fast and don't make any plays. Malik Washington has had moments, and he's made some big plays. And one thing I do like about him is that they use him in a lot of the same roles that Tyreek Hill has been used. And obviously he's doing it with the second and third units, and he's produced. Braylon Sanders had a couple of nice practices, way too many drops. Anthony Schwartz is a drop a minute.
And,
Anthony Schwartz, he's a drop a minute.
Yep.
Okay, it's not
he's,
looking.
He's sort of a, he's an interesting player. He's sort of, what you call him, sort of a, like a Jalen Waddle type of type, as far as, you know, how the roles he could, without getting too specific, obviously, but
yes,
the roles that he might find himself in.
Very much so. And he gets a lot of snaps. I just would like to see him catch a ball every once in a while, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that'd be a good thing.
That's Braxton disappointing. Berrios? And you know what's particularly disappointing about all this is that the guy that, you know, could maybe help this unit out a little bit, Taj Washington, he's not there, and he's not going to be there for the entire year, pretty much.
Right. Pretty much.
And so I think that's sort of disappointing. But you say now Malik Washington, and I know this is a person of interest to the fan base, because there was a lot there, you know, there was a lot of hype about him as a draft pick. Would you say that issues for him, you know, do you think some guys are running around in training camp and maybe a little bit freer access, or maybe a little bit less physical, and they're good receivers in that setting? I myself thought that Taj Washington would probably flourish in that setting. Other guys, when they get into the actual game where there is physicality, then they start to shine. I'm talking a little bit, take you back in time to Eric Ezekanma. You know, obviously when he got into the preseason games, he lit up like a Christmas tree because of the increased physicality. He's a very physical player. Do you imagine, based on what you've seen, something similar with Malik Washington? Or,
yes.
Or is he just struggling?
No. Yeah, you could see it. You could see it with, and especially when they today they ran a crack toss with him on the crack. He picked up a defensive end. He does that consistently. The physical part is not his problem. His problem is probably picking up most of the playbook. But I think, you know, arrow up on Malik Washington while pretty much arrow down on everybody else. I can't say one thing about Willie Snead. He's a pro, and you could tell he's a pro. But so is Braxton Berrios, and I don't think he's very good. But so far, I would say if they have to count on a couple of guys past the big two, it's probably going to be Willie Snead and Malik Washington as of right now. So Odell Beckham cannot get there soon enough.
Do you think, if you had to choose on a game day, based on what you've seen, between Malik Washington and Braxton Berrios, since they play very similar roles, they are exclusive, or at least I believe that they're exclusive slot players, both of them. Obviously, you are not allowed to say whether that's true or not in training camp thus far. But heading into this thing, they were both to be exclusive slot players used in certain situations when that is appropriate. If you had to choose between the two, I know you don't really like Braxton Berrios, but who you trust are in the game right now?
Malik Washington, there's a speed element there. He gets separation. He could get downfield. I trust him more in that regard. And it's there's a difference when you walk these, when you watch these two guys play.
Fair.
I think we could pick up the offensive line on the other side of the break.
Sure. Let's go to break right now. We'll pick up offensive line because you know, a lot of people are talking about them right now, not necessarily for great reasons. and then we'll get to the defense.
Let me tell you about Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one daily fantasy sports app with over 5 million active members. Prize Picks is the easiest and most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. All you do is pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. Get in on the daily action with your friends and become part of the Prize Picks community today. Sign up today and get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. One Caleb Williams passing yard gets you one win on Prize Picks every week in September. That's right. Only 1 yard gets you an automatic win every football weekend in September. 4 weeks of free W's. Don't miss this deal on Prize Picks because it's gone when September ends. Football is on the way, so do as I do and make Monday and Thursday night football more interesting. Download the Prize Picks app today and use the promo code 3YARDS. That's the number 3YARDS and get $50 instantly when you play $5. That's the code 3YARDS on Prize Picks to get $50 instantly when you play $5. You don't even need to win to receive the $50 bonus. It's guaranteed. Prize Picks, run your game.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Are you a South Florida property owner with an insurance claim? Are you dealing with water, mold, or fire damage to your home or business? Are you having trouble locating a 5-star rated general contractor that is fully licensed, certified, and insured? If the answer is yes, then Water Cleanup of Florida is here for you 24 hours a day. With over 60 years of combined experience, Michael, Robert, Jorge, and their team is prepared to handle any size property damage disaster. When an unexpected damage occurs to your home or business, you need specialized, fast, and reliable services. Water Cleanup of Florida understands the impact and stress an unexpected disaster may cause. Their objective is to make the cleanup and insurance claim process painless and hassle-free. Water Cleanup of Florida is also a licensed general contractor, so they provide the A to Z service, one-stop shopping that business homeowners and business owners require. Water Cleanup of Florida is now an authorized dealer of Eurocraft cabinets, so premier kitchen, bath, and laundry cabinetry, countertops, and other accessories are available for your viewing at their showroom in Boca Raton. Or, do you prefer to shop from your home or office? Then Water Cleanup will send you one of our design specialists to you with samples and products that fit your style and budget. Call Michael anytime on his personal cell phone if you have any questions at 954-579-0356. That's 954-579-0356. Or visit their website at WCUFL.com. You can follow them on Facebook and Instagram. And please check out their more than 80 5-star reviews on Google and Facebook. Water Cleanup of Florida. If you have the schmutz, they have the guts.
I'm Jalen Phillips, and you're listening to 3 Yards Per Carry.
And we're back. And now, unfortunately, we got to talk about the offensive line.
Yes, yes, we do have to get into it, don't we? Now, we'll start today and work backwards on this because, you know, it is coming across the wires from various other people that attend camp like you, that the offensive line really had a rough day today, showing against the Atlanta Falcons on defense. What do you make of that conclusion, that perception? What did you see out there today?
Well, there's good news and there's bad news. The good news is that Patrick Paul was good. The bad news was that every other left tackle on the roster was bad. And there was one combination that was especially bad. Kendall Lamb and Keon Smith were not very good. And their issues weren't necessarily straight up against pass protection, you know, in pass pro, facing, you know, a classic pass rush. They were having issues picking up blitzes. And it was pretty simple stuff, including one play where I saw it all the way. And I'm like, how the hell is Kendall Lamb just letting Mike Hughes run right in on Tua and kill the play? And you could see Kendall Lamb say, oh, that was my bad. And obviously they're moving the protection over. There was another play where it was completely on Tua, but the rush got in there way too fast, which was the interception where Tua threw a glance route to River Craycraft, who was my player of the practice day today, by the way. He had three receptions on third downs to convert third downs into first downs, and he had a touchdown on 11-on-11 on a slant.
Well, shoot, you should have mentioned that during the wide receiver segment. We were here sitting there trashing every wide receiver not named Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle.
Well, you know, there's only one other guy that was any good, which is River Craycraft, you know, and Malik Washington. I hold out hope for Malik Washington. He's had his good moments. And of course, Willie Snead is a pro. But
well, now I do want to follow up with you on this this Kendall Lamb, Keon Smith thing. Because I've been asked on this, and so obviously it is a point of interest to people. I've been asked multiple times about this. The depth chart is out, right? Mm-hmm. And Keon Smith is sitting right there at left guard on the depth chart. And and this, you know, far be it from me, you know, from my couch to criticize, but Keon Smith is not a left guard.
No.
So I interpreted the move or this depth chart to mean that essentially they're just trying to find a spot for Keon Smith because they have too many tackles. They have Teron Armstead, they have Austin Jackson. We know about that. But then they also have Kendall Lamb, who's explicitly signed to back up Teron Armstead, be his sort of his handcuff. And then they also drafted Patrick Paul, and guess who's back is Ryan Hayes, right? You know, and he has at times looked quite competent at the tackle position. So now, oh yeah. And I didn't even mention Baron Matos, right? And we know that he's guaranteed essentially a 17th practice squad spot. So he will be on the practice squad because he gets the international exception. Too many tackles. And so they're trying to use Keon Smith at left guard just to have an excuse to keep him. But would you say not going any better than it did last year when he was thrown into left guard during a preseason game as sort of an emergency measure because people got injured?
This is a new thing, Keon Smith at guard, because he's taking most of his snaps at tackle. And I think I can say this, first team tackle.
Okay.
And we know who that side, you know, which side he's playing on, because there's another guy on the roster that doesn't practice and the other one does. So we know which side Keon Smith is playing on.
Fair.
This is a new thing. Kendall Lamb, as expected, is taking snaps on both sides. And when he takes snaps on Austin Jackson's side on various teams, and you know it's not going to be first team because Austin Jackson is the starter. So I don't think I'm talking way out of school on this one.
Sure.
Keon Smith kicks over to the left side because we know Teron Armstead does not practice. I am envisioning for the first time, and I've been advocating for this all camp, that Patrick Paul should have a redshirt year. At a certain point, it is now August the 6th, which means training camp is really in its infancy, okay?
Right.
There's 15 more practices and three preseason games and one, two, three more joint practices, okay? Tomorrow, one with Atlanta, one with the Commanders next week, and then one with Tampa Bay. Okay, with Tampa Bay in Tampa, the last week of the preseason. So there's a lot of training camp to go. But for the first time, I can honestly say if we care about who's playing better so far in camp, Patrick Paul is the better tackle than Kendall Lamb so far. So I think they have issues there, and they have to make some decisions as to what they're going to do going forward. What's happening with Keon Smith is really a byproduct of Patrick Paul on the come up.
I see. So let's talk about Keon Smith on the depth chart at left guard. Without getting into too much specifics, are you seeing evidence that that's a serious experimentation?
They're trying it. Is it working? First time out? No.
Okay.
And I can't say it's first time out. Like, if you had to count the snaps.
Right.
We're talking minimal snaps at guard. Okay. Like, that's not a thing. Mm-hmm. Okay. I think that they are desperately short up body at guard. And it's really because Isaiah Wynn is, we don't know if he's even on the roster. We know he's on the roster because they keep saying he's on the roster. And when they give us these rosters when we show up to camp, it says right there very clearly Isaiah Wynn, PUP, which means he's around. I don't see him anywhere. He's not anywhere to be found. Tomorrow I'm legitimately going to start asking people, is he in the building? Is he around? Because I have not seen him. I've seen everybody else that's on the PUP. Okay? I have not seen him. If you have him around, you could reasonably expect, okay, they have enough guards, and if these guys work out, then you probably have something. You're probably going to be okay until, of course, they take an injury. I think they're short of body. They need another guard because there's no way you can count on Isaiah Wynn.
Uh-huh.
You know, the good news is I think they have a player, and I think Robert Jones will sign a 5-year, $50 million contract with somebody else next year.
Wow, that's a bold prediction.
Okay. He looks good. He looks the part. He looks the player so far, Robert Jones.
So would you say, so you would say that, you know, chances are, I mean, Isaiah Wynn, let's be honest, we've always said that he's been injured his entire career. There's not, you know, there's no reason to think that this is suddenly changing about him. He has not been there. You know, it's kind of reminded me of how, like, you know, the Tennessee Titans just had their right and starting right guard Sadiq Charles just suddenly retire today. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not saying Isaiah Wynn, that's going to happen to him. We'll see what his progress is and how he's going and all that. But I mean, for now, if they have to just move without him, you think that that's going to be Robert Jones?
Yes, absolutely. 100%. And okay. Yeah, color me concerned. Mike McDaniel was asked about this, and they asked him, is it the same quad? And Mike McDaniel essentially said, yeah, it's the same quad. We asked Butch Barry about it, and he said, yeah, it's the same quad. It's the same issue. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the worst quad in the history of quads.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, consider me concerned with Isaiah when I wish if he would be around, if I could see him, you know, just on the sideline, like, while Jalen Phillips gives you the warm and fuzzies, sprinting, you know, 100 yards and then doing change of direction drills, Isaiah Wynn is not giving you the warm and fuzzies by not even being there, not even showing up. So, mm-hmm. You know, I'd rather that he be just there, just be there, be seen. So, yeah, I'm concerned. As of right now, I don't know how you can count on him. And I would say Robert Jones, yeah, he's the starter as of right now.
You know, the issue that I have there with that is that Robert Jones is last year. I mean, he's sort of a right side guy, I think, by nature.
Yeah.
And you know, he played some tackle, right tackle, I think, in college. He's played some right tackle for the Dolphins too. You know, and last year, if you really look at the four games he played at right guard, it was a completely different story than the four games he played at left guard. And so, you know, this is a bit like the Keon Smith situation, where it's like, if you're really going to try Keon Smith at left guard in order to make the roster, you might as well trade him now. If you can, because it's just, you know, probably a failed dream. If Robert Jones is going to be the starting left guard for the Dolphins, I would certainly have some concerns. Now, if what you say is true, though, that he's excelling in practice, then that would be certainly something to, you know, to change that. But, you know, for me, I'm going to have to see it during games. And that's just my two cents on that one. Now, before we get to the right guards and Jack Driscoll, Liam Eichenberg, the center, Aaron Brewer, any issues with the snapping, with the snap exchange? We talked about this last week. You said it wasn't so much shotgun snaps as it was Tua coming out under center, not getting low enough, you know, so on and so forth. Have they worked on that? Is there any improvement there?
By the way, I could give you some breaking news. Connor Williams has signed with the Seattle Seahawks, 1 year, $6 million with $3 million guaranteed. Okay.
Thank God, not the Ravens. That's all I asked for.
Okay. So he's a Seahawk and they need him. So whenever he's ready to play, he will be a starter for the Seahawks.
Well, thank you, Mina Kimes, for putting in the good word there and preventing him from getting to the Baltimore Ravens.
Why isn't he our left guard?
Because he refuses. Because he absolutely does not want that. And so I think that's more on Connor Williams than it is the Miami Dolphins. So just my two cents there. But but okay, Aaron Brewer, center. Had some issues with some snap exchanges with Tua under center.
And it happened again today. So, you know, panic time. It happened again.
It happened again?
Yeah, under center. But, I'm going to blame Tua for this one, okay? You can see that he was a little anxious trying to get out to a landmark, I guess, on play action.
Oh, he does that.
Okay, so maybe he's the one who dropped it on the floor. And you could see that, you know, there was no, like, eye-to-eye contact and communication. So, it was probably Tua thinking to himself, okay, I blew that. But, you know, I was reminded, you reminded me, like, Aaron Brewer wasn't around for OTAs. So, when we had that.
Tua was barely around, right?
Exactly. He was doing that holding thing where he was just doing 7-on-7s. If you know, if you watch 7-on-7s, there is no center. A coach snaps you the ball. So, those first horrible sessions between all those centers and all our quarterbacks, they were essentially happening for the very, very first time. And all those snaps we were watching from Aaron Brewer to Tua, oddly enough, every single snap from the shotgun was good and has been good. But all those other snaps under center, they were actually happening for the very first time. I can tell you Aaron Brewer's been really, really good. And a guy that I really liked early on, Andrew Meyer. He's grabbing a hold of a spot on this team. You could guess what it is because he plays one position. He also had a very rough start with snaps. His was of the shotgun variety, so his were more catastrophic in nature. But he's actually been good. He looks the part as of a backup center. Let's just say that. And we know where Jack Driscoll's is playing. Everywhere is the answer.
He's done some center work. He's clearly fighting for the right guard starting position.
He was at tackle today too.
Yeah, that's an odd one for me, especially when you have so many tackle options on the roster. That fits into the category of experimentation to me. I guess we'll see, but you know that is an odd one. I heard about that. I remember hearing that and thinking that's unnecessary, but probably just experimenting.
Yes, but as far as everybody else, Lester Cotton, Chasen Hines seem to be in a pitched battle.
Pitched battle to be off the roster.
Yes, for what I have no idea. I guess we'll watch on Friday to see who plays what. And, you know, which unit has which player. And then I guess you can decide for yourself who's ahead in that battle.
If you were to read into the depth chart, which is, you know, that is a difficult and dangerous task, exercise, reading into these depth charts that they actually feed us. But based on Chasen Hines' position on the depth chart, I think his position is not guard anymore. It's just doghouse, because that position on the roster is the most superfluous I'm about to be cut position on that depth chart. And that surprises me. I just know that on film he's got physical talent and abilities. So it is, I would say, not so much surprising as disappointing. But
disappointing is the right word for this entire group of UDFAs on the offensive line. I'm disappointed by Matthew Jones. He has not been good. Although I will say this, and somebody pointed this out to me, Dolphins have 5,000 defensive tackles, all of which are probably NFL caliber defensive tackles. So a lot of these guys, although these are the guys that they're going to face in the NFL, okay, on Sundays.
That's right. No excuses. Right?
So, you know, a lot of times Jason Hines is going to have to block Tyr Tart, okay, in practice, and he's being made to look bad. By the way, Tyr Tart, very, very good, and we're going to get to that in a second.
We'll get to that in a second.
Matthew Jones has had issues blocking these guys. Neville Gallimore of the like, all of these guys. Jonathan Harris, he's having issues blocking these guys. Very disappointed with this entire UDFA group on the offensive line. Mm-hmm. So much so that the Dolphins have evidently did something about it and signed Sean Harlow, who's an NFL body. So he's going to look competent. And
yeah, not a particularly good one.
We shall see on Friday what shakes out with Sean Harlow and the like. But
yeah,
they are desperately short a guard. And
they need a trade here. They need to call the Steelers about James Daniels. I know that the Steelers are in the midst of trade talks with the San Francisco 49ers over Brandon Ayuk, and it has been reported, I think, that, you know, the Steelers have a number of players that they've, in addition to draft picks, that they've put up in the trade conversation for Brandon Ayuk, and last I saw, James Daniels was one of those. And if that is the case, then obviously the Dolphins can't really come after James Daniels until that is cleared. The Brandon Ayuk trade is cleared, and which I do believe is going to happen. And if you follow Pretty Ricky on Twitter, who is the People's Insider, I strongly believe he is legit as far as his actual contacts go. You know that Brandon Ayuk to the Steelers trade is likely to happen regardless of what the real insiders, you know, supposedly Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, all those types have been saying up until then. Brandon Ayuk is probably going to the Pittsburgh Steelers, and if he goes there and James Daniels is not part of that package, then if I were Miami, I would be all over that phone asking for him in trade. But that's just me. That's just what I'm saying. Who do you think is going to win based on what you've seen so far at the right guard position, starting Liam Eichenberg or Jack Driscoll?
Liam Eichenberg, I think, is probably going to win that as of right now.
Incredibly depressing. Thank you.
Yeah, Jack Driscoll is being asked to do way too many things, while Liam Eichenberg is asked to do one thing.
Well, that is definitely the that is definitely milk curdling for me. But but hey, that's just
you know what I kind of like too. Are the 49ers going to pay Aaron Banks at the end of the season, and maybe a phone call can be placed there?
You know, it's worth putting in the call. I would say at this point, I how I feel about some of the positions on the offensive line, and I think we're, based on what you're telling me, based on what I see out there, I think we're kind of seeing it.
And to be honest with you, if they traded for somebody like Aaron Banks, you play him at left guard, which is where he plays. Robert Hunt at right guard. All of a sudden, I'm feeling pretty optimistic about this offensive line. Like, this is,
you know, Robert Jones is a more natural right guard, and you know, I wouldn't be terribly depressed about that. I think that's you're doing yourself quite a few favors if you do that. But I don't want to labor on the point. You know, Austin Jackson, I'm sure, just kind of looks himself. Would you say?
Yeah, and he's done more work on his body. He's looking, yeah, he looks svelte. He looks great.
Well, that's encouraging, because you know, some guys that get paid, they let up off the gas a little bit, and it's good to hear that he's not one of those.
Yeah, types. There's more definition. There's more definition on his frame, and he does not win the best body award. That belongs to Bayron Matos, and I don't think it's going to be close.
You think Bayron Matos has that squat? Who's got that squat championship?
Well, I'm going to give you some inside information. I've seen Robert Jones work, and you would think, oh, it's obviously Robert Jones, because if you watch him play, you know, he's kind of a mauler type. He's, you know, big, country strong. You know what I mean?
I think of him as a little bit more upper body, but I get you.
It's not him, because I've seen him work out. I've seen him work out, and it's not him. Okay.
Okay.
I'm beginning to think that it might be Bayron Matos who's the strongest guy on the team.
You know. I wouldn't doubt it.
And he is all of 6'7", 335 pounds. All of
and,
it.
And probably, you know, does he remind you of like Daryl Gardner?
Yeah. Very similar to that. Yeah. Big like barrel chest, big thighs. Yes. Yes.
Mr. Absolutely. Atlas over here, you know. Yeah. We should we
imagine if he knew how to play football, right? If he knew how to play football, it'd be something else.
Yeah, well, maybe it'll be like Quentin Bell, and that'll transition us to the defense. Quentin Bell was a guy. Remember, he was a wide receiver, Prairie View A&M, until his final year, and they told him to just run around on defense and rush the passer. Didn't know anything what he was doing. But he was a great athlete. And they said, okay, switch to defense and just rush the passer. And you don't know what you're doing, but that's okay. Cause we're Prairie View A&M. 5 years later, we might actually be able to harvest something out of this guy,
yep.
Quentin Bell. And he has been making a lot of headlines. You did say that you don't really trust him in coverage. Which can be an important thing. And even in this defense, if you're going to be an actual outside linebacker in this defense, you will find yourself in some duties every now and then.
Yeah. And I did learn, you know, and you know, I watch installs and I watch the 11 on 11 intently for things like this. We did learn. And although I asked Duke Riley, is this a really linebacker friendly system, which is a roundabout way of saying, do they ask you to do less?
Yeah,
in this system, because we know Fangio's system is very rules based, and sometimes you're thinking about three or four different things. We kind of learned that in this system, there's some rules. There's some rules to it. So it's the full Baltimore Raven experience, which means there are ways that teams can scheme certain players onto your edge players and force them into coverage. So yeah, they will be asked to cover in short areas. Absolutely.
How is he though? You did say before we did kind of truth or fiction. You know, how has he been as a pass rusher? For real, like what's the story on him?
Well, I did tell you after the first practice, and you said that is a hot take. Is it hot anymore, Chris?
No, I don't suppose it is.
Yeah, I told you he's a starter. He's a starter as of right now. I said he would start the first preseason game, and if I had to guess, he's playing 20 snaps week one against the Jaguars with Jalen Phillips starting on the other end and Chop Robinson getting the balance.
Keeping in mind for our listeners that this defense is a three-man mostly a three-man rotation at those outside linebacker positions, and all three guys in Baltimore more or less played equally. So, you know, starter versus third man, there wasn't really much difference between any of those three guys in the way that they rotate. And I sort of imagine that if Jalen Phillips does come back, Chop Robinson would be among those three man rotation. And you're saying Quentin Bell would be the other guy too.
Yes. Pending when Bradley Chubb comes back, which my guess would be 6 weeks, you know, on the pup to start the season. Quentin Bell gets after the quarterback. His style is much different than what we see from Chop Robinson. Quentin Bell has a more maniacal, I would say, pursuit of the quarterback. He gets on the shoulder and he just keeps battling until he gets there. Plays with a lot of leverage and strength. Very, very different to what Chop Robinson will do. Quentin Bell is much more like, I'm trying to compare him to somebody. And I understand, somebody today did showed me a Lance Zierlein thing that said that he's more like Leonard Williams. I'm willing to say he's more like Melvin Ingram, you know?
Yeah.
Wins with strength.
Well, you know, what's interesting is when he came out, he's at Prairie View. You watch him on film and he was very Brian Burns-ish. Like, you know, this was clearly, he looked like a guy that, you know, you took from wide receiver and you just suddenly put into a pass rush role because he's unusually heavy and, you know, still a very good athlete. He looked a lot like Brian Burns back then, but now you're saying he's got more of a physical game. Is that what you say?
Yes, big barrel chest. He's a heavier sort now.
Okay,
you know, he's not
that's,
sleek.
That's Aaron Lynch, and that's who comes to mind that way for me.
Yeah, he's not sleek. Chop Robinson's a different story.
Chop Robinson's a he's a block avoider.
Yes, Yes, and he makes himself small. Today he had one pass rush today that all of us in the beat, because it's one of my favorite things. And I'm not making fun of anybody here. I'm not calling anybody out. I actually enjoy the hell out of this, because we sit there and we try to call sacks. And what I do is that I just look at the official, and the official says it's a sack, it's a sack. But sometimes the officials are not saying it's a sack. Sometimes the officials are just moving on to the next play because, you know, the coaches want to get as many plays in as possible, and there's time constraints, right? So one of my favorite things is when people start, debating whether it's a sack or not. There was one play where Kirk Cousins just goes back to pass in the shotgun, and Chop Robinson just blasts off the edge on the blind side, makes himself small, and he is in on Kirk Cousins so fast that you could almost see Kirk Cousins was surprised by it. And Kirk Cousins just, you know, it was one of those things like, oh, and he just throws it away. And you could almost hear say, oh, he threw it away. And it was three of us. I think it was me, David Ferronis, and Adam Beasley were like, that's a sack and a half. And he might have killed Kirk Cousins because he made himself so small that he just appeared in Kirk Cousins' back. And I was saying this to somebody 2 days ago. I was being told, oh, he's raw. He's going to have to learn the system. He's going to have to do this, do the other thing. And I'm like, you know what? He has one skill that's translatable to every single level of professional and amateur football, college, although, you know, college is no longer amateur, but from high school on the way up, he runs around a tackle better than anybody else on this team as of right now.
Yeah.
And he does that consistently. He is a problem. And I'll tell you one thing. I think he's responsible for Keon Smith's bad camp.
Poor guy.
Because he tends to dominate him. He just does. Yeah. And I'm telling you, Kendall Lamb has not had a good time either.
I cannot wait. That's interesting because Keon Smith is quite a good athlete.
Yes.
And so getting as far as his explosiveness and getting deep enough in that kick step, not necessarily the problem for a Keon Smith in that matchup. So I think that is an interesting observation. Obviously you can't say how Chop Robinson is being used. Right. But I would say that, I saw, you know, tweets from, you know, for example, Travis Wingfield, or talking about him coming up the middle, I should say, and eating the center's lunch. Do you see more meat on the bone for things like that?
Oh yeah, he's going to play a lot for this team, and he's going to be an important piece for this team.
Yeah, so. I figure as much. What about the defensive line though? The big bodies. You know, we lost Christian Wilkins, Zach Sealer, we more or less know. And we know what he's capable of doing, what he's going to be doing. Calais Campbell, you know, kind of just getting his feet wet here. But is anybody else? I'm like, if you had to say, because you know that Zach Sealer, let's just set them aside. Zach Sealer and Calais Campbell, set them aside. We know who they are. You got a bunch of, you know, spring tryouts there with all those other guys. Who's standing out the most?
Deshaun Hand. And I don't think it's particularly close, with a very, very, very close second for Tier Tart, who keeps making plays. If I had to handicap this whole thing, I would say Brandon Peely's on the way out.
I see.
Neville Gallimore is already on the roster. Like, you know, you could just pencil him in. And
he's kind of the defensive line coach's favorite, too.
Yes. Jonathan Harris is probably on the bubble, mm-hmm. but he has a shot. And Benito Jones is the zero. Like, we know he's the zero. Tier Tart, Deshaun Hand are the guys that are going to get a lot of run, along with Calais Campbell. Calais Campbell's already a leader in that group. You could tell.
Well, Jonathan Harris, to me, when they signed Calais Campbell, that I feel bad for Jonathan Harris, but that impacts him probably more than I think a lot of the others.
Yeah, I think game day, you're thinking about Zach Sealer, Benito Jones, Calais Campbell, Neville Gallimore, Deshaun Hands, Tier Tart, and then one of those guys will be the inactive guy, and you'll have those five on the interior. As far as the young guys, look, I really like this group. While all the other UDFA groups have disappointed, besides cornerback, and then we're going to get to that right here, closing out. Leonard Payne, there's something there. There's something there with Leonard Payne, and I think he's going to need these games. So is Grayson Murphy, for that matter, on the edge.
He is a strong man, Leonard Payne, I think. From what I recall of him, I did a lot on him, you know, since the Dolphins got him as a UDFA. And he is an interesting, he is a strong dude, but he's built well. He's built like he moves well. You know, that is an interesting guy to keep in mind, I guess.
All right. Before we go to the cornerbacks, let me give 15 seconds each for one of these guys, for each of these guys, because I think they deserve it. And It's really not their fault. Muhammad Kamara has been very good. If Chop Robinson didn't exist, we'd be talking about, hey, you know what? This guy that they got in the fifth round, they have something here. You know what I mean? He's been a good player. He's just overshadowed by Chop Robinson. And okay. Grayson Murphy makes plays, made more plays today. We shall see. The games are going to be important for Grayson Murphy.
That's going to be an interesting to see. Well, we should probably give at least a couple of seconds to the linebackers unit. Very important, Jordan Brooks and obviously Duke Riley and David Long, Anthony Walker. I think he's sat out a few days, probably veteran stuff, but also maybe he might be fighting something.
Yeah, Jordan Brooks also sat out today as well.
How has that linebackers unit been? Just as a whole,
The steadiest unit on the team, and you even have Channing Tindall showing up in the box score and showing up today. He had a TFL and he had a run stop, a noticeable run stop, when you know their second unit was getting over on our defense. Channing Tindall made a play. He's shown up in a big way. Is he going to supplant Duke Riley? I don't think that's happening. Duke Riley wore the orange today, and he was essentially the leader on that unit. Mike McDaniel was dapping him up, and he was with Anthony Weaver all practice long. So he was essentially the green dot guy today. So very good unit. It's been very, very steady so far. And I'm going to reverse myself, and I'm going to say that Cam Brown is the one that's in danger, not Duke Riley.
I was just going to ask you about that because, you know, if I had to come up with – I came up with a big list of what I view to be the camp battles to watch, right? And those two, I think, are in direct competition with one another. Cam Brown versus Channing Tindall. You think that that's going in the direction? We did Fact or Fiction on Channing Tindall last week, if you recall, and you were kind of inclined at that point to be like Fiction on Tindall. You think that this has gone more into Fact, and that Cam Brown is in trouble? Is that correct?
Yeah, it's been three practices since then, all three bangers for Channing Tindall, and
all right.
Keeps showing up. He keeps showing up, and he keeps making plays. At some point, you got to give him his flowers. And the games are going to be important. The games are going to be important for Channing Tindall. He's going to have to make plays because he's going to play a lot in these games.
Now, what about – okay, now we're getting back into that secondary. And this is where I just want you to lavish a lot of praise on Ethan Bonner for at least 15 minutes.
Well, we only got 5 minutes left in the show. But I will say this, Ethan Bonner, as advertised, there's certain things that you watch a guy do in a practice, and I'm sorry, it just translates to the NFL, it translates to anything, to the UFL, it translates to Madden. I don't give a crap, okay? If you're running with somebody of the likes of Tyreek Hill, and you're making plays on the ball, and it's not an underthrown ball, you got something. When you could stay on Jaylen Waddle's hip and make a play on the ball vertically as the ball is right on target, you have something. And when you're getting the snaps, and I don't think I'm coming down the mountain with the tablets here, he got into a fight with Drake London. We know who Drake London is, right? We know
what unit he plays on, is what you're saying?
Yes. So you're kind of getting the drift of this. Now, Cam Smith was in uniform, actually. Maybe he's feeling it a little bit because Cam Smith was actually in uniform and actually participating today. And that's a good thing because out of sight, out of mind, while the other guy actually performs, Ethan Bonner has been a revelation. And he can play football. It's as simple as that. That's
now
all.
Tell me, though, if you think this is correct, based on what you've seen, if I even go back to his college film, and then I look at, you know, and then the NFL with the Dolphins, That man's got a punch. You know, that man, that man's got the ability to rip the ball out, to you know, basically break up the pass. Is that something, I mean, am I way off there? Is that something he's got?
He plays with a physicality, and I think the whole brawl started after Drake London caught a short pass and he came in with a punch, and I guess Drake London didn't like that. What the hell is this white boy hitting me with a punch?
So he went for the ball with a punch and instead gave him a good kidney punch, and he didn't like it.
Yeah, and then a brawl started at the 35 yard line and ended up at the other 35 yard line. He's been good. There's no other way to say it. Okay, the guy plays good football, and it's evident at all times in these practices.
And you cannot say how they're using Jalen Ramsey, but would you say just in a broader sense,
everywhere,
that's what you would say.
Yeah,
everywhere.
And he rushes the passer now too.
Well, it's eventually. You have to at least explore that.
And he loves arguing about sacks. Yeah.
Nice. Well, what about what about Kendall Fuller? This is kind of a blank for most of us because I know what he did in Washington. I know how he's looked in the past. I know how he used to look in the slot. I know how he played with Washington Commanders last year and some of the previous years. Has he really been looking in a Miami Dolphins uniform? Because he's got big shoes to fill with Xavier Howard.
Yeah, very, very solid. Today he had the very elusive interception on a fade route to Drake London, and Javon Holland actually screwed it up for him. Okay, it's as simple as that. Because it was one of those where he's on Drake London's hip, elevates, intercepts the ball, and Javon Holland wipes him out. And he wipes him out because he was trying to get the ball. So I don't know if Javon Holland was trying to earn some of those dollars that he wants in his next contract, but he screwed up what would have been a pretty nice interception from Kendall Fuller. He's been very, very solid, very steady in the secondary.
Oh, that was what I was going to ask you. Javon Holland, is he having the camp that suggests that this man is about to, and I mean about to, like, you know, sign a very large deal? Or do you think, they're going to have to see something? They're going to have to see this regular season.
Yeah, he's extremely important for this defense. They're asking him to do a lot. We know Jordan Poyer, what he's going to be doing on this defense. And yeah, on the way out here, because we have such little time, I got to give, kudos to the UDFAs. This is a really good group of UDFAs in Isaiah Johnson and Storm Duck. Storm Duck, I think, has played his way onto the team. He's been really, really, really good.
Wow.
So that's, we shall see. We shall see.
That is definitely saying something. And have you noticed Marcus May out there? And in any way,
I've noticed Elijah Campbell much more than Marcus May. So yeah. And with that, that's it. There is no more. We will talk to you again next week.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.
Bernie Marino is looking out for himself, not us. Marino is totally out of touch, and his company has a history of discriminating against its own workers. Marino has even faced multiple lawsuits for racial discrimination. One black man sued for being told, "You black men out there tried to hide your criminal records," and being passed over for less qualified white applicants. Moreno has shown his colors. If he's elected senator, he's liable to rubber stamp Trump's radical Project 2025 agenda 100% and turn back the clock for Ohio. From taking away our overtime pay to gutting our public schools and rolling back our civil rights, we can't let Moreno take us backwards. We can count on Sherrod Brown to continue doing what's right to protect Ohio's workers and families. Register to vote by October 7th at OhioVoterGuide.org and re-elect Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by AFSCME People, AFSCMEPeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.